Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings. This is Big Mama 7, and I am so glad to be doing radio tonight. That means we've made it in safely from all the travels, and we're here to work and to help our people. You know, understand, we do these programs, it's truly a labor of love. So I want everybody to really remember that. And this is the people's Black Panther Party Radio. So this is your radio program. Don't hesitate to call in and press 1 and express yourself. That's what we do. And we rotate this between myself, National Director of Operations 7, Chairman Yanga, and Chief of Staff War. And so we get this going. But tonight is Big Mama night. So I'm going to bring in my dear sister, Big Mama Makita, and we're going to get this thing worked out. You know, we got to talk about this. Support during the struggle. So we're going to talk about it here, but also recognize you can always go to the Facebook page. The People's Black Panther Party has a full page. Hit request, you get signed up, and we take it from there. So let me see if I can get her on the line, and we can work this out. We need some explanations, some clarifications as to what we're talking about. Greetings, dear sister.
Love and light, family. Love and light. How are you?
Hey. I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Have made it safely to all the destinations, and so I'm like, hey, God has spared me one more time so we can get together and to work with our people. That ever so needed, ever so needed. So how's your day coming?
Every day above ground is a good day. Somebody didn't make it.
Amen.
And with everything going on in the world, it just makes you give thanks and praise a little bit more, you know?
Amen. Amen. Look, you know, I mean, none of us are promised no day, but it seems like every day these days are getting a little bit more precious because we got stuff to do.
Mm-hmm. Plenty of work.
Yes.
And that's why this topic was just such a good thing, because I think a lot of times people forget that you need support throughout this. And sometimes the people who really need the support are the ones who don't ask for it, the ones who get up every day and do what needs to be done, whether you're helping, whether you're talking about it and not doing nothing, but just running around your mouth. But those people that get up day in and day out and they still push through, you know,
that's whether
they're in front of cameras or not, you know. So I think
that's
one of the reasons I wanted to discuss this, because for some people it's like, okay, you know, are you being as supportive as you need to be for other people in the struggle? Are you just looking for the support for yourself? Are you only supportive when you think there's a spotlight on you? Because if that's the case, then we have a problem. We have a problem. We need to address that problem.
Uh-huh.
Because we have, even in our with us, we have a lot of millennials.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a lot of eyes watching everything that we do. And they have no problem telling you if they feel that certain things are out of order or just backing out completely. And we don't ever want our young people to back out completely, because we need them. As much as they need us and the wisdom that we have, we definitely need them. So that's why I wanted us to have this conversation about what we're bringing, how we're getting the support, how we offering the support, and are we consistent with the support?
Uh-huh.
Now, we support the children, personally, you and I, because we know of a variety of things that we deal with. So we make it our business to check in on each other and things like
that.
Whether it's for this show, something else, another part, we check in, because we understand how important that is. But how many other people are doing that?
Yeah.
You know?
When it came up, I kind of was like, ooh, you know, I knew it was going to be one of those moments. And I knew that we had to go about it honestly. You know, Big Mama, she's not going to lie to you. She's going to tell you the truth. You're going to hear it whether you like it or not, whether it's a bitter pill or whatever. You are going to get it. And so, we do have to talk about this. this is one of them topics that can be very, let's say, just touchy. And the reason why it's touchy is because people don't want to admit maybe I do slack off in the support. You know, I want to be supportive. I know it's important. But am I really doing all that I can? And a lot of times the answer is no. And then we have to talk about why not. What is limiting us? What's keeping us on the outskirts? And find out, really, I can tell you, we already know who doesn't get the support. The people that are supporting, you know, it is it's hard because we're not thought of in that light. It's like, oh, they're fine. They're always fine. Not always.
No. Mm-mm. If it wasn't for my spiritual circle, I think every day is not as nice as it could be. Just being real.
Hey, for real. For real.
I am grateful that I have different support systems that will check in on me, you know. And sometimes
right.
we get our support from people we don't necessarily think will be there like that. But as long as you're getting
yeah.
some type of support. Like, for instance,
yeah.
I was a part of an organization at one time, and it was like, I got to go through 50 people to get to you. Prayer, please.
Mm-hmm.
I should be able to come
mm-hmm.
out because when you need
right.
something, you come. So why is
right.
it that when I need some support or I need some answers because something is not sitting right in my spirit, something is not moving right, or you know what, let's just be real. You out of order, brother, sister, you out of order. Why can't we have
mm-hmm.
that conversation?
See, this is, again, you know, and keeping it 100, and we have to. I'm so glad you brought up the millennials. All right. We have tons of millennials looking at us, whether we're aware of them or not. They're looking
yeah.
at us to find out, okay, what do you think is important? And I'm going to compare myself. All right, what do I think is important? How do I make this happen? How do I make that happen? And so these millennials are always kind of underfoot watching and letting us know they're watching, you know. So we do have to represent, not just because it's the right thing to do, but because it's the right thing to do, we have to really make sure that we are leaving them with something that they can grow with, you know. How they will act, how they will behave, will be a direct reflection of us. And so we, knowing that, don't play around with that. It's an honor, and it's all nice when they're all googly-eyed, and it's all wonderful. Everybody wants a little flunky and everything else like that, but really when they're looking at you like, hey, what's the moral judgment on this? You know, how are you going to handle this situation? It's not as cute then, you know what I'm saying? And we have to get to the point where we are past what it looks like and really get to the real, so we are leaving with them with something. You know, we're guiding this next generation forward, and if all they have is what they've seen us do, I don't think they're going to have enough.
Exactly. So if it's just us having a more in-depth conversation with one millennial elder, let's do it. Sometimes just that weekly check-in to just see if someone is okay. You know, it doesn't mean I'm going to flip out and save you from whatever is going on, but maybe that phone call can give you the strength to move on and to fight another day on those days when you don't feel like fighting. You know, the struggle
that's
is
right.
real, but there are people who are like, man, I'm not doing this. Let such and such go ahead and do this. And then, of course, I turn around and I do it because I take my obligation seriously. But there are those moments. So for us, we need to make sure that we are relying on our resources, which is our support system, and also actively being a part of someone else's. You know,
absolutely.
I've worked in situations, been a part of things, but, you know, personally, I may not like this particular person because I don't like Zach, that they're doing, but that's that. But when it comes to this that we're all a part of, if they're doing what they're supposed to do, I'm still being supportive.
That's right.
But if you're doing what you have to do within the organization, within the party, boom, fine. But if you're not, we need
right.
to talk about it.
Right. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. We're having this conversation. Are you doing enough? And then I hate to be like this, but because I'm one of these pillars, okay? I'm talking to myself while I'm talking to everybody else. You know, I'm one of these pillars in the community. I'm one of these people that are constantly supporting others, constantly making that phone call, constantly, this is what I do. And so it's what I do. I enjoy doing it. I think it's important. At the same time, I also know there are times when I need a little support and closed mouths don't get fed. You know, I will sit there and be in need and won't say a thing just because, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, yeah, you know. And so it's like, really, I got to do a little better than that. I have to do better than that. And so, you know, and then also I have to be, you know, I'm a pillar. I will tell you I am a pillar of the community. I will tell you the work that I do to support those in my community. And so all of that's wonderful, but for especially dealing with those that are new and those that don't know what and how and don't know even, you know, some of the basics, I have to tell them, look, this is how you support me, okay? That don't mean I need, you know, I'm not going to need you to make no car note payments. I'm good on that. You know, I don't need this. But what I do need is as a black woman who travels a lot, unescorted, I might need a check-in on the real. You know, as a woman who is out in this limelight or out just doing whatever I think I'm doing, you know, I need a check-in partner to make sure that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing and without, you know, any strings attached, just can you check on me? You know, can you make sure that this is going right? And so there's all kinds of little ways that don't have anything to do with this attachment or that attachment, but it's an opportunity to be supported and feel supported in your day-to-day, you know, and so... But, you know, I have to say how to do that. I can't just assume that people know. Now, I would like for people to know, and I would like to be, you know, especially, you know, when you talk about our peers. But, you know, Big Mama, when you talk about the millennials, it's like, do they really even know what's expected of them?
Not if we don't ask. Yeah.
Correct. Or show.
Yeah.
Correct.
And that's with anyone. If you know you need some help, say it.
Correct.
That doesn't mean the first person you say it to, oh, okay, I'm here, I got you on everything. No, but I might be able to connect you with some resources or connect you to this brother or sister over here who can help you better than I
Correct.
Can. So allow me to be one of your resources. So I have no
Correct.
Problem with that. I love the networking part. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times when you do have to remind people. I'm like, okay, so a check-in on me is okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
It goes a long way. It goes a long way.
It really does. It really does. But it also goes back to us being able to say, I need help.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Not just in the party. We have power couples within. So
mm-hmm.
even being supportive of your partner.
Yep.
Through the process, we have a lot of jealousy. Ooh, I said it on crunch. I did. We have a lot of jealousy within relationships and within parties and within organizations within. Oh. I don't do office politics well.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, if I wouldn't do politicians, I would be running for office.
It's going to always be about the client. That's it. I don't care. It's going to always be about the client. And that's mm-hmm. how I everyone else doesn't move that way, but I know for me that's how I move. I will always put
right.
the client's needs first, because if that's what I'm there for, to help, then that's what I'm there for.
Right.
So if there's certain things that I need to do within the community, then that's what I need to do. It doesn't mean it's not going to get hard at times. It doesn't mean that it's not going to be difficult. It doesn't mean that I don't get tired, you know.
Right.
But that's what
right.
Maybe you just need to speak to the brother or the sister that can teach you some time management skills. You know, make sure
exactly.
that you're getting your physical fitness in. Make sure you're getting your prayer, your meditation, and whatever your religious belief or spiritual beliefs are. Make sure that you get your family time in. Make sure that you balance these things out. It's not going to be perfect, but at least, you know, other people can help you start. Well, you know what? This is what I didn't do right. This is how I messed up. So how about you don't do it that way? Or if you do it that way, tweak it a little bit to make sure you have some more private time, because that's what you need. You know, maybe your
mm-hmm.
profession is an art. Maybe you need that. You need a little bit more personal time so that you can be ultra creative and stuff like that. So on those days when you're
okay.
doing that, we'll take care of this. And then you come over on this day and balance it out. So just realize that when you need some help, being able
yes.
to ask for that. And just like you stated, traveling the way that you travel, a check-in without
yes.
strings attached. We don't want to talk
yes.
to every brother that on that level.
And
oh.
you know, I hope I'm not being too forward. I don't want to sound ungrateful. I don't want to do any of those things. But I do want to make it clear, okay? You can play that position without there being strings attached, okay? And I would suggest that everybody think about what they can do, what they do, and think about the strings you put on there. You know, are you making
mm-hmm.
crazy promises just because you need a check-in and make sure? We don't. That doesn't have to be attached to. That doesn't have to be attached to anything. You know what I'm saying? You don't. That's not a requirement. You know, because you need somebody to check on you does not. It shouldn't mean that you are obligated to give up the goods. You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry. And so it's something that we really kind of, especially in our community, because we do spend time with brothers. We spend time with sisters. And mm-hmm. in our interactions with each other, that shouldn't have to be one of the assumes, you know, like this is going to turn into a relationship or this is going to turn into whatever. You know, we need to work on that.
Yeah, and it's homosexual. You heard me?
I didn't understand I didn't understand the words that just came out of your mouth, okay? Could you explain to me what you're talking about?
It is that season for people to fake relationships and all kind of stuff. It is so we need our brothers to be protected, our sisters to be
yeah.
protected. Don't
yeah.
mess up your happy home because of something that possibly could or could not be. You know, it is that
yeah.
season.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And then we have to stop thinking that we constantly have to have. That the relationship has to always be there. You know, we have to move out of that understanding. There are times, places, and spaces where you're genuinely just being nice to somebody or we have a working relationship and everything else like that. It should not require this other stuff. So when it comes to support, and I think sometimes that's why people won't ask for support, because they're like, I don't want to over-obligate myself because I'm not interested in a relationship. You know what I'm saying? I know what I want from this person, and I'm worried that if I ask or if I imply that a check-in would be nice, then that may obligate me for other check-ins in other places and spaces that I don't want. And so we have to get to the point where we can say, hey, look, it ain't even about that. You know what I'm saying? It's not about that. It's not about, what I can get. We have to also stop looking at each other as what can I get from you. You know, a lot of times we get stuck and caught up in that what can I get from you, to the point that we're really missing opportunities to have real positive, authentic exchanges with each other. So, you know, that's something I think that we really need to work on, especially for our next generation, because I don't want them thinking every time something come up, you got to go ahead and, you know, you have to commit to those levels, you know. This we got to work on that whole loose booty idea, you know. We have to start really putting some things in places and spaces where that's not always on the table. It's not necessary. It's not necessary, sure. Even for support.
All right.
Say it again.
I said you're right. It's not necessary to offer a healthy type of support. And it's important,
correct,
that we, these eyes that we have watching us, that they see us have these healthy relationships. Where, you know, we didn't used to talk. No, we're not trying to talk, but this is a healthy friendship. This is what a
right.
healthy friendship looks like, being able to be there for each other. So we owe it to them for them to see it, and we owe it to ourselves.
Absolutely.
And the foundation of any relationship would be friendship.
Absolutely.
So mutual respect. And then with that mutual respect, take it where you need to take it.
Right. Right. And you know, for my young ladies out there, and I'm you know, we have a topic, we have an agenda and everything else like that, but obviously this conversation is moving in this direction. For my young ladies out there, please stop selling yourself short. You know what I'm saying? So if you need help, if you need support, say that. Say, I need the help, I need the support. But stop giving the idea of relationships and relating and sex because you need something else, you need the support. And then we have to teach our men folk, and then, you know, we'll have to get with the chairman, and when they do the talk about it, they're going to have to talk about it. Are you, you know, pressuring, or are you exchanging what should be brother-sister support for sex? Are you putting demands and plans in place when all that's necessary? You know, are we teaching our brothers how to just be brothers? And are we teaching our sisters how to just be sisters? You know, why does it always seem and feel like the sex has to be implied? You know, and it doesn't. It doesn't. When you're talking about supporting somebody and helping somebody, it doesn't have to mean that.
This is true. This is true. And this is something that we should be teaching. But some of us need to relearn this lesson ourselves.
Stupid. Okay, well,
I mean,
you're pressing on your toes, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, you started talking loose booty. When you start talking that, then so some of these older women are just as bad. So we have to have that fair type of conversation, you know?
Yeah, we do. Because, you know, why? And we already said it. Because these kids are not listening to us. They're watching.
They're watching everything.
Yes.
Everything.
They're watching us. And so you can go around and thinking that you're getting slick and, oh, I can handle this and blah, blah, blah. Trust me, that's not it. That's not it. That's not it. So, you know, we've got to get to the point. We got to get over ourselves in many ways, you know.
This is true. I saw one of those little memes that said, okay, it was from a young adult, a young mother. And she was like, at least I'm making a fool of myself in my teens, in my early 20s. What is your excuse in your 40s and 50s?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I felt like mm-hmm. people thought that was me. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you're paying attention to everybody. Everyone is telling you what you should, could do, whatever, 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 all on you. Mm-hmm. And you're like, yeah, but I'm watching you. And you're
still
doing this. You haven't changed this. But you're acting a donkey and stuff in the street and in private over this person.
Right, right.
We all have to grow up.
If I have to, you have to. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, hey, Big Mama. Hey, Big Mama. I'm going to listen to you, and I'm going to do whatever you say to do. I just need you to do it first. And so it's like, ooh, well, what had happened was, you know what I'm saying? It's not an easy task. It's not an easy task, okay?
So we have to have these conversations. And we have to have these conversations with ourselves, too.
Well,
Starts with the person in the mirror.
Yeah, it starts with the man in the mirror. It really does.
You may have to remind yourself of how fly you are, and then, you know, remind yourself that this particular area you need support in. You know, you're okay on the other six areas, but these three right here, you really need some help, and then find a way to bring some support in.
Right.
Because I promise the same way that you need support in those other areas, there is someone else that needs the support too.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, I remember, you know, I'm a big mama, and I'm thinking back to our parents. What did our parents do? And our parents were there supporting each other. You know, I remember often seeing the mothers, the young mothers, work with each other. I remember seeing the young mothers. So it wouldn't be just one family in a house. It'd be two, maybe three. I know they did shopping together. They coordinated the kids together, which kid is going to do this and which kid is going to do that. And so it was a process, but it wasn't any one person being just left out there. And so we have to get past that idea of no one has support, you know, and really, really start to say, okay, we got this and we got that. Dear sister, there's someone that would like to join in the conversation. And that's always a wonderful thing, because this is the People's Black Panther Party Radio, and we want to hear what the people have to say. We want to hear how we're really trying to make some positive things happen. So, you know, let's see what we can do. So let's open up the phone lines half a second. You want to hang in there for half a second?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Greetings. Welcome to the program. Greetings. Okay. I heard a beep too, but I'm not hearing anything. You might have to take yourself off mute or whatever. Okay. We'll check that back out in just a second. All right. So yeah. If you want, all you have to do is press 1 and we'll try it again. But but back in the day, sisters did not, you know, they weren't just by themselves, you know what I'm saying? And the families worked together to the best of their ability. So it wasn't a matter of one person struggling. If there was any support, they worked together. And this is what I'm talking about. We have to get back to this idea to where everyone is supporting everyone, you know, and it's kind of easy. But, you know, we've moved out of, you know, if the chairman were here, he would go and tell you about having to live communally and blah, blah, blah. And there's ways to do that without spouse sharing. I don't believe it or not. But, you know, there's ways to work together to where it doesn't require you to share your spouse, but you can share the bills. How about that? You know what I'm saying? That's what I need some help on, the bill part. So, Yeah. Because I know I myself have had to do it. I myself, look, you need some help. You know, you need a minute, a couple months can make a huge difference when two people are trying to help with the bills.
That's true. But that's if you're both doing your part. And we're not talking about anyone coming along and leeching off of another person, because that's not fair at all.
No.
But we say, tis the season. You know?
Right.
Right. This is the season. You know, people will make all kind of promises that they really can't keep. And I think that if we can have open conversation, I think there's more people out here than not that can understand you need 30 days or you need 60 days. Give me 1 week and, you know, and I will turn this into, you know. Come on now. So, you know, the average grown person understands. We understand you don't get paid the first day on your job. You know, we understand that. You know, two weeks before you get a full check. We understand that. So just being able to have open communication and honest communication.
I'm seeing the lies. You know, we are seeing the lies where people are being misleading and saying one thing or another just to try to kind of get in the door. And then once in the door, they have no intentions of doing what they said.
Not one bit. You know, not one bit. I had to tell this little sister today, young mother, single mom, and I had to share with her, it is okay, you know, just teach her how to talk to her landlord.
Right.
She has more understanding than she realizes, but just because I'm willing to help you doesn't mean I'm just going to offer the help. Now, if you come to me and talk to me as an adult, I'm going to, you got the help. That's not a problem. You need an extension? That's not a problem. That's exactly how that person works. However, I'm not offering that because this is still my business. But because I'm a grown woman and I know grown things happen, I can give you that type of extension if you need it, if you ask.
Right.
So we have to get back to teaching our children how to effectively communicate. That whole precision of language thing. To effectively communicate to get what you need or get the resources. And even with this young sister, when I realized that I was like, oh, okay, I'm getting a little drained. So I'm going to cut this short. You got, in my mind, I done gave the timer said click, 90 more seconds.
Right.
And I gave that 90 seconds, and then I was done.
Yeah.
Because I knew I would need a little bit to shake it off. I'm like, all right, I got to get on the shoulder, man. Need about 10 minutes to shake this off so I can get ready. And being okay. So understand, recognizing when your body is under stress. When your body is changing because energy around you is changing, like, this situation is not good for you, you know, because sometimes people don't. And that's because they don't know how to effectively communicate yet. But if we help them in that area, then we should all should be able to get our point across without taking up 5 hours of somebody's time that you really could have said in 10 minutes if you were honest with yourself. And then we could have had some heat the other 5, you know, the other hour.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
So, teaching the young people how to do that in those type of situations. Like, it's okay to have this conversation, but remember that your word is your bond. So if you don't keep your end up, then that's when you can have an issue.
Right.
But at least it's a point where you can make that type of agreement. You know?
And see, when it comes to support, sometimes the biggest support that you may give is information. You know, we don't have enough information going around our communities. There are times where, like, I know where churches will help. You know, church will help with this, church will help with that. Not even your church, neighborhood churches, you know. And so as we're trying to build and everything else like that, we have to, you know, share that information with these young people. You know, sometimes they don't know if you call up to your electric place or wherever, and make and you know try to make an arrangement that they will give it to you. But you know, we're talking about so many millennials getting involved. These are things they have may not have encountered yet. So us, you know, us big mamas and papas, we can't just assume that this person knows that. And I think when we do that, we really do a disservice because we've created an energy where this young person can't ask, you know, because we've made it, you know, we made them feel some sort of way about not knowing. So it's important that we, you know, help them through this.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be able to help mm-hmm. them through this. We have to show by example. Mm-hmm. And then also, don't be so, you know, us older people can't be so high-fidelity, you know, that we're not taking the time to really sit back and think, you know, just think for a second. Mm-hmm. Ooh, I know this person ain't been working like they were. I know this is going on, that's going on. How can I help them in the middle of that? And so, you know, sometimes they may not ask for the information, but don't be so too big to give it to them. And if you know they need mm-hmm. some help and you know this is a problem, why do they have to come on bended knee to come in and get some assistance mm-hmm. from you? Let's move past that thinking, you know, and let's just get to the point where they need some information that we have, you know, and really start to be that and be there for them in the middle of it, you know.
Like for us at Queens Domain, we have a text group. So there's time where people will send me information, and I'll tell them put it in there for the group because that particular person may not know that four of those other sisters is going through, but I would know, you know, because of how they confide in me. So I would have that person be a resource to everyone else. Well, I don't know who's going to need it. That's why I tell you to put it in the group chat because at least if you put it in the group chat, whoever is there will pick it up and keep it moving.
That's right. That's right.
And it is.
There was.
And we've shared a lot of information and it's helped a lot of people. So mm-hmm. you may feel shame for whatever reason that you can't pick up the phone and call this person. Well, I've had people
right.
in the group like, oh, I'll talk to you, but you know, I don't know anybody else like that. And I'm like, we're learning. This is how
right.
we, you know. And they're like, and again, I've known you for X amount of years. It's only 6 months of this person. So I have
right.
to respect them
right.
for who they are and respect that. But at the same time, I'm still going to do my part to make sure that this resource from this person that you've only known for 6 months but is beneficial to you, I'm going to make sure that that information gets passed on.
Absolutely.
And that's what we have to do.
You know,
share the wisdom.
There was a – who founded the People's Black Panther Party? One of the sisters, her name was Justice. And she's transitioned, but I remember in the few conversations that I had with her, she would speak about getting burnt out from giving. You know, she spoke about people taking advantage of the givers, and I know exactly what she was referring to. And you know, we all know. So, you know, how do you work on, because you're a giver, you're to me, I think you're even more connected to the people than I am. And that's hard to do, you know. So I think, you know, you are very, very involved. How do you continue to give without it impacting you or making you feel some sort of way when people almost have a mentality, you know? So it's like these are our people and we love them and we care about them. At the same time, how do we support them without totally draining ourselves and everything else like that?
Okay. Well, for the record,
it was real.
There are times where you do feel that kind of way. You're like, you feel some kind of way. Like, wait a minute. You don't realize I was up all night organizing this and all day the day before, and I barely got any sleep 3 days ago. And they people don't care. You know, that's
yeah.
what we choose to do. So learning how to balance yourself and be like, okay, I know I don't take certain
it's a select few people that can call me after a certain time during the week. Why? I think so. Because I realize that sometimes people want to dump, late night dumping and stuff. No. And just because you see me laughing at a meme on social media doesn't mean that I'm available video chat to you or nothing like that. That's just me having laughing at somebody. You know, that's it. I remember I contacted a sister one time on social media. It was about her business. And she gave me the office number. And then she said, sis, no disrespect intended, but this is my only fun spot where I don't have to discuss business. I don't have to discuss my music. It's just me looking at these pictures and laughing. And I almost felt some kind of way, but I had to respect it because she
Correct.
Set boundary, and she did what she had to do to maintain that boundary. And I appreciate
Absolutely.
It so much. Wait, yeah, you're right.
Uh-huh.
I respect it. So, but I had to first show a little bit more respect for my time, show a little bit more respect for my body when I was feeling a little off. Like, okay, but this isn't the day I'm going to do this, and it's okay. It's not the end
Correct.
Of the world. So I can share the information, and maybe someone else can pick it up. And then if they can't pick it up, it's okay. It'll have to roll over for the next day. And it's not the end of the world. You know, or instead of trying to spend 6 hours working on something for someone else, you get these 2 hours, make the best of it.
Absolutely.
Because I have another appointment. And that another
Absolutely.
Appointment can be me in my bed. Whatever is my appointment. So whatever I have to do as far as maintaining those boundaries, then that's what I need to do. Fitness is a big deal for me, but because of the recent fall, you know, I couldn't do things the way I really was doing before, but I'm looking forward to getting myself back in there because it helped me mentally, it helped me emotionally, and it gave me that extra energy when people did get beside themselves, when people did get to the point that they felt, you know, it's your job to do this. No. You know, the old, it's my job to stay black and die. that
right.
will
Love.
Come to you. Like, wait a minute, no. And
yeah.
I had to go, you know, if they don't me in any other relationship with them, then they won't really understand. So I had to
Correct.
Show them a relationship. I had to show them the same way you take it from this pot. Oh, okay, you need all that, that's fine, but I'm going to need you to drop some potatoes for the family behind you.
Exactly.
Put something in that pot. I don't care what it is.
You know,
I don't care what's putting in that
pot. We think enough about that. We have to train people. Don't just take. Give. This is where the whole self-determining comes from. Self-determining. We have to really get to the point where we are creating not just positive models for people, but we're also showing them, first you do this, then you do that. But there still has to be a boundary. I got a caller that would like to join us, and I believe this is our chief of staff, and so Chief of Staff Ward, so we're gonna get it. Hold on for just a second. Greetings, welcome to the program.
Power to the people. All right.
All right.
Y'all said something that I definitely wanted to give my comment on in regards to not burning out.
Yes.
To me, and I would say over the years, I've learned it was two things that I felt was real essential in terms of my growth and not being burnt out. And first, I want to say I look at that as being an aspect of growth within the movement, that you learn to not allow yourself to burn out. Unfortunately,
That's right.
especially when you're young, getting involved in this thing, is that you want to push to the point to where you don't know how or you don't know your own limitation in terms of your mental ability to deal with being constantly surrounded by people tugging and pulling on you.
Yeah.
So it's a growth thing. And fortunately, because of, I would say, my experience in dealing with nature, and this is just my take, prior to joining the party, it allowed me to, number one, maintain a certain outlet that would not, I would say, contradict my work in the party. And that's just going out in nature, hiking, dealing with just getting away from people without, you know, sounding too messed up. You know, I feel like you know, you have to have some time to yourself. And when I say time to yourself, I mean time to listen to yourself. This is like some internal meditation with me. So I would get away, escape out in nature, and just not be around people and deal with and tranquil. That gives me the ability to revitalize and learn how to replenish my energy. And so from that standpoint, to me, it's about having a healthy outlet. A lot of people in this movement jump into it without having a positive outlet. In other words, as they get in and start helping the people and start cleaning themselves up and things of that nature, their previous outlets may have been drinking, smoking, hanging out in the club. So when they get involved in this movement, those outlets basically become part of their something that they have to eradicate out of their life. But those were the outlets that they had. They didn't have a connection to Mother Nature before they joined the party. So from that standpoint, as they get involved in this and they eradicate or erase those outlets from their life, they didn't necessarily know how to replace those negative outlets with a positive outlet. So oftentimes they considered the movement and helping people to be that outlet, which causes them sometimes to reach a certain threshold of burnout. And it leads to point number two that I have. Point number two that I have on that is what I refer to as expectations. What I did learn is that although people that we are helping, we want them to do better. We show them and guide them and give them everything that we possibly can in order for them to be a better person. But what you must be careful about is setting expectations on people. Why? Because as well as burnout, part of burnout comes into play when you measure your development along with someone else's and you find yourself disappointed because of expectations that you may have in an individual, the people, everything around you, all in above, because you gauge that according to how much time and effort you put in. And so if you have an expectation of that, then you will find yourself in a depressed or resentful mode because of you're measuring what you do according to what you can see, the output you can see from the work you do. So, again, to me, it's having a progressive outlet that does not contradict your work in supporting and helping the movement of the people and so forth, and not having expectations. And that's all I wanted to say on that.
Oh, man, that's super awesome. That's super awesome. Look, your mic is going to be open if you want to jump in. You're welcome to jump in and everything because you just said some words. And we're always talking about how to do this healthy, okay? Because working for the people in an unhealthy way is only creating more problems. You know, we have to get to the point where we can say, look, truly we're part of the solution, you know. So first, being part of the solution, take care of yourself. How in the world are we going to be out here, you know, rallying the truth, getting these young people, because we got a trail of young people following us. Everywhere we go, they go. Everything we do, they do, as they're supposed to. They're learning. They're actively learning from their elders. And so everything we do, they do. Oh, we got to hold up, because I didn't mean for you to pick that up. You know what I'm saying? You weren't supposed to be watching me. As she said, positive outlets. Man, how many negative outlets? How in the world can you go have a good rally, get people excited about their own revolution, do this, do that, and then turn around and do something negative in our communities? And it happens all the time. You know, we're talking about those accountabilities and responsibilities. So we have got to find ways to keep it all good, all the way around all good. Can't just jump in, like Sister McGee said, when the lights are on, you know, when the camera is rolling, you know, now we want to be the megastar and we have all these wonderful words, and then turn around, though, and be destructive in our other behaviors. So,
yes, being creamy, you know, in front of the camera is just that, in front of the camera. But those eyes are watching you when you're not around there. They're watching how you function in private settings. How are you showing the same amount of respect that you talk about they're watching all these things.
Yeah.
And we just
As they should.
That's where we can reflect on things that happened in our childhood.
That's right.
That was beneficial to us.
Yeah, and even when we saw, even when we look and we're like, hey, that's not beneficial, we know that too. You know, our parents were not, they were not perfect beings. They had some flaws. Some of the things that we picked up from them. You know what I'm saying? And so our their flaws were our flaws. But at the same time, now that we're the ones that are leading, I question how we're able to do that and maintain ourselves at the same time.
We have to figure out ways for balance, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I love what the truth says. I know I like to go to the water. I don't go enough.
Mm-hmm.
I like to go to the water because it gives me that time to meditate, get into me, you know. Listen to what the Most High is telling me I have to do. And sometimes what I have to do may not be what I want to do, but if it's going to be beneficial, if it's going to keep me sane in the process, if it's going to allow me to still be able to be there for people, then fine. I have to do what I need to do. Caregivers, those givers, including caregivers, I don't know why I came like that, but caregivers, they end up going before the people that care for.
Yes.
The majority of the time.
Yes.
Because they pour so much love and energy into someone else, into making sure that they're okay, that they make every doctor's appointment, every dental appointment, get, always get their medicine, get their food, get their this, this, and that, and they forget to take care of themselves.
Yes.
And we can't forget to take care of ourselves in the process. We can't.
Absolutely. You know, and then, of course, whatever we do, they're following us. So if we're neglecting ourselves, they'll be like, okay, well, that's part of it. I got to neglect myself. You know what? That's okay. I don't really want to neglect myself. I don't want to do it. And, you know, we wonder why so many young people are not following us. You know, I'm very proud of the millennials that we have in now and the ones that we have coming at the beginning of the year, because these are the ones that are right now are saying, hey, I see this, I see it's positive. All right, let me go ahead and keep working on it. But there's a lot of millennials that are like, I don't want to be bothered with that. I don't want to have to work and improve myself and my neighborhood and my community. I don't want to have to work on all that because all I did was see it stress you out. Why would I want that? And we got to really stop and think about what message we're leaving for our young people when it comes to the impact, not just on us, on the community, but the community on us.
And sometimes it's for us being able to have a conversation with the young people and just like, do you really want to know why I got into this? Do you want to know why I'm doing these things? Have that open conversation. And be honest and be like, this part right here completely stressed me out. That's why I don't do that. I take my 2% and I'm all over here. I'm not trying to do 98% because, see, if I got to like about 40-something, I realize I've been off a little too much. So I'm not going to sit there and put it out there that I can do all of this. But if you come over here with my 2% is, oh, I got you. And if I can give a little more, I can. But I promise you this 2% is here.
Yeah.
And I can commit myself that way. And that's why when we talk to even, like, when new people were coming in, like, you know, we don't need to do everything. If you can do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And be consistent with doing this.
Yeah. Yeah.
It will be appreciated and it will be valued. Yeah.
That's definitely consistency.
Yes, sir.
For older people.
Yeah.
For new and old. So sometimes we can fall off. So be able to accept constructive criticism, to say, you know what, sister, you fell off a little bit, you know, tighten up. You know, brother, you fell off a little bit, tighten up. Be able to accept it. You know, it's not about hurting no one's feelings, you know, but we really have to get beyond just being creamy for lights and the camera. Stop it.
Absolutely. And then we always can remember, you know,
we know they're paying attention. We know they're paying attention. So, you know, let's give them something to work towards. You know, we have to really, really give them something to work towards and make them want to do the work. Because if they don't pick this up, this movement is dead in 10 years.
Yeah.
If they don't see the value of what we're doing, if they don't see the value to themselves, to the community, if there's not something more pushing them, this movement is dead. So understand. Go ahead, please.
I was going to say, one of the ways I like I push to try to address that is by basically constantly preaching in terms of how I deliver it on the fact that in our situation as black people, when in class I teach it as a trifactor. We have to look at things in terms of the building up the individual, building up the family, and building up the community, and those three things are all inclusive of the family. So to me, the family structure itself means that you have an obligation to your community. So in regards to my children, I teach them that being active in the community is part of what a healthy family must do. So from that sense, you create a position of obligation and accountability within the household that, hey, this is what we do. We have to give back to those people in the community that are less, even from the standpoint of just making them see that they're less well off than ourselves. There's always somebody that has less than what you have, and we should help each other. How would you feel if you was in this situation? You know, and from that, I'm talking about young children, and you raise the bar as you go as they get older. But from that, then you teach them to feel good about giving to the others that are less fortunate than yourselves, and you attach that with the obligation of being in the community. So that way, when they help someone else, you know, is less fortunate than themselves, then they attach that help to helping the community, not helping an individual. It obviously may go to the individual as far as they're concerned because they're tunnel vision on that note. But what you're telling them is, hey, you just help somebody in the community. And as they get older, then they come to grow into the accountability. That a healthy family has to engage the community. So the whole point is, it's not something that I can do or cannot do and still get by. But if I want to raise a family of my own or as I become older, then I have an expectation and have a built-in responsibility that I have to engage and be a part of something active to build our community. And so I go into saying that basically as we talk about and as we raise our family, our new family model has to be inclusive of the community element. And unfortunately, I look at that as being dysfunctionality when when children are taught that it is an option to actually engage in the community. In other words, like basically if you go to school, get a good, you know, good job, good career, and have the money to keep a roof over your head and then maybe marry someone and then raise children and send them to school, then you've done your thing. I don't say no. That is a dysfunctional family.
Absolutely not.
Because what are you doing for the community? You see, what are you doing for the community? You teach them at a young age, and as Panthers, this is what we do. We teach them at a young age that you have to have an obligation to the community because the conditions that we suffer in regards to oppression will not go away unless we actively take a part in building a collective movement that centers around us having self-determination and empowerment so that we can actually address these changes collectively. And so I think it just goes back to that. It's really about restructuring what people identify with as a family unit. You know, so it you don't make it an option. Basically, a family means individual, your loved ones of blood, and your community relationship. All of that inclusive is a holistic family. And so that teaching that model does not leave room for them to not be involved in the community. You see, so that's the way I go about addressing that. Then from that standpoint, it's going to be automatic. That don't necessarily mean they're going to be Panthers, but what does it mean? It means that they're going to be active in their community, and that's what it, and that's what counts. And that's what counts.
That's what we're going for. We have to keep the cycle going. We're about to miss a cycle. A whole group of people that don't know that oppression is real, and there's something you can do about it. See, this is what this education is about. So whether they're learning Panther ideology, whether they're doing anything, they have to see us fighting in a healthy way for ourselves and for our community. And so this is how we have to get them in and get them to understand this is part of your obligation. You know, growing up, we knew if we had it good, then you have a responsibility to help those that don't. And so, and good was, of course, relative, because if we had rice and beans, that means we were good, okay? We were eating that night, and our parents made it sure, you know, we're not talking about Jordans and video games, baby. We're talking about some real basics. Did you hit your basics? Yes. There's some people out there that are not getting their basics taken care of. We have to help them. Everybody has got to get to a basic, what you call basic. We got to get there. And now there's not that. There's not a concern for the basic. There's not a concern for our fellow people. You know, we've turned real individualized, and that's not helping our community at all. So when it's talking about supporting your community, supporting in the struggle, you know, how do we get that done? This is the kind of things that we're talking about. We have to be able to support in the middle of it. And everyone needs to support. And everyone can give support. You know, a lot of times we think, oh, you got to have X, Y, and Z to give some support. No, absolutely not. You know, you can give support just with whatever you have, but we have to start seeing ourselves as having resources. And we don't. You know, if you know how to cornrow, that's a skill, and it can make money. Okay? That's something you can be learning.
Uh-huh.
Please go ahead, my sister, because I know you know about that. Because you got the girls, so okay, I know you know about supporting each other and learning those little skills so that we can help find ways to give each other, not give each other, but find ways to earn money here and earn money there. I was constantly earning money as a young person. All I did was look around and see what I didn't have, and then I created it, you know. So back in my single mother days, and, you know, you can't get out for a Friday night and enjoy yourself on no dates. So when Solomon was young, I would be the one that stayed home. I did not mind because I made money. You want to go out? Fine. I will stay home. Just pay me to babysit. You know, I'll feed them, we'll play, we'll laugh, we'll have a good time. You know, there's not enough of that entrepreneur spirit. If people ain't selling a million of them, they don't want to do it. But I'm like, what about just starting in your living room? What about, you know, we're talking about supporting. That's money, you know. I love to see these little sisters up here. You know, the eyelashes, of course, y'all getting out of control with them. But, you know, if that's a way that you make money putting them on and stuff like that, make your money doing it. You know, we have got to get out of the idea that we can't support each other, you know?
There's so many different things that we can do. Just like you said, younger years, it was just about the basics, whether or not we had those essential things. And there was no extra money to get your hair done. And you will learn how to braid. I will buy you this doll head, baby, for $5. And that doll had every type of kinky braid, beads. That's how I learned how to put extensions in, whatever I could do on that doll head. And I made it my business to teach my girl.
Yeah.
You know, even though we have locks. Okay, but I'm going to still show you how to do it.
Yep.
So in case you need it somewhere down the line, I'm going to still show you how to do it. And you have to get back to those things, you know. Okay, this is the person that's going to cook, you know, like one of my daughters with her catering company. I'm like, right, you know, we got these events coming up. I can't
be here.
So I'm going to need you to go ahead and make your money by hosting this event.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
So as the elders, oh goodness, at my tender age of 16. But anyway,
as elders.
You know, we could help with creating opportunities for these young people.
That's right.
That's right.
You know,
but we have to show them there's a value to that. You know, we have to show them. Don't, you know, I don't, if all you make is $100 and you and your kids are eating for a Friday night that you didn't have to leave your house or whatever, make the money. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
People that have the food stamps, but you need cash, that's a way to convert food stamps into cash. You know, and I'm not talking about selling it to the point where you coming out, you losing money. And it's not worth the trade off. I'm talking about make that a business, and then you earn money like that. So you know, this is the kind of stuff that we need to work on when it comes to how we're going to help each other support during the struggle. Okay, we've always been in the middle of something. This COVID stuff, this is new for them. It ain't new for us. Having to make a way out of no way. That is not a new idea. We've been doing that, you know, but what we have to do is go back to working and supporting each other and not sitting back relying on what the government's going to do, because we've turned, we've put way too much credit and alliance and everything else like that into the government to the point that when things come up, we don't know even how to begin to take care of ourselves. And that's very unhealthy. You know, the government has always had a kind of a twisted relationship with African Americans. I don't trust them. I don't trust them. You know, and they want to go ahead and pipeline this vaccine, and I'm like, wait a minute. So we got to get to the point where we can start relying on each other and take our reliance off of the system. You know, what happens? You know, who can you go and crash with? Okay. So when it comes to support, first thing you got to do is make a list of who can support you. You know, we have to really, you know, let's, I don't want to just say words without there being a real meaning behind them. And I want to make sure, you know, I think sometimes elders assume that you know what this word means and how to go about it. So when we say support, you need to make a list of the things that you need, and then a list, you have to identify what the problem is, and then you have to make a list of how you can get this problem solved. You know, and these are basics. Back to the basics. When I, growing up, had the little one, first thing I did was I made a list of who can watch kids in case he got sick. You know, that's the first list I needed to know. Where can my child go in case of emergency, anything? And then I'm like, okay, how do I put you on my child's pickup list? How do I teach my child your phone number? How, you know what I'm saying? So when it comes to support, you need to think about what you need in terms of support.
That's right. That's right. One of the things like we were talking about right now was with our ability to be more and more self-sufficient, right? With
right.
the women's group, I was like, come next year, I don't care if you got two pots in your apartment, but each of us is growing something. So those
right.
who got more
exactly.
land can grow more, and whatever we're doing, we're going to do our best not to duplicate so then we can barter. So it's enough space back here. I was like, okay, I'll do the melons, and then it's some trees that I wanted to plant. For in the future, I'm making an investment now, so my
right.
ex will have, you know. So once this was out, well, I don't have this space or that. I was like, but can't you grow those peppers in the pot? She said,
yes,
you know
you
what,
can.
I can't. I said, thank you, because I
yes.
like peppers. So we'll figure out what it is that we can grow to share with within the group. But, oh, my goodness, I went for a green pepper, and it was like $5 for a green pepper.
Yeah, yeah. They say the word organic. Yes. They say the word organic, and that means you stop what you're doing and you pay triple the price, and that doesn't even mean that it's a better pepper, okay? Absolutely. Yep.
Not one bit. Not one bit. So if we can, if you can figure out within your circle things that you can do to improve yourself efficiency, I think that's a great start. And so we all need to eat. So let's figure out what we can do. Yeah,
absolutely. And to be clear, to be honest, to be fair, we're not saying don't utilize government programs and everything of it. We're not saying that. Use whatever resources you have available to you in your area. What we are clearly saying, though, is that knowing this government, we should not rely on them. They should not be our only resource, our only place that we can think of when it comes to getting assistance. And that's what we are clearly saying. And then also to take it a step further, as to try to wean ourselves away from some of this government assistance, think about what we can be doing to have that self-determination run even with our young people. What can they do? You know, I was babysitting Queen. I've been babysitting since 10, 11 years old. You know, I mean, there's tons of things you can do. I promise you, if you help the little old lady take her trash out, she'll tip you a quarter. And she's going to act like that quarter is a big deal, and you better act like that quarter is a big deal. But eventually those quarters add up. And so we have to begin to get okay with moving out of our mental space and saying, look, this is something I can do. This does make money. Allow me to do this to help support myself. If you don't have no washer and dryer, but you buy laundry detergent and all that other stuff like that, find somebody who got a washer and dryer and offer to buy the detergent. Find ways to work together with others that have the same need, so that we can begin to say, okay, I'm not reliant. You know, I'm not even worried about the bus schedule to carry all my clothes here or there. I'm going to go over to my girlfriend's house, do my laundry, watch her kids while she goes to the grocery store. You know, we have to start finding out how we can be of more of assistance to each other. You know, because what happens is one person will stand up there and be like, oh, I need X, Y, and Z, and they think that everybody's supposed to stop and do get them what they need, and they're not putting back into the pot.
Nope. And you have to put back into the pot.
You have to. Or, like you said, we burn out. You know, like you said, you burn out. You become disenfranchised with it. You know, it really, really does not make you want to continue. If you feel used, if you feel like people are taking advantage of you, you know, if you're not seeing what you're going to get out of it, it makes it hard to want to keep going.
This is true.
And it happens. It happens, family. And we have to start working on that. And I love, you know, Chief's idea of finding your own ritual and routine before you step into the party. You got to be good with you. You got to know what you can do, what you can't do. You got to understand, you know, what's needed, what's expected. I get all that. I get all that. So, you know, again, these are things we have to be aware of for our own safety and sake, because there are people, unfortunately, that don't have the benefit of having Big Mama, and they don't have the benefit of realizing, boo, you're a little heavy. You know, you just pulling, and I'm not seeing the back and forth. You know, you'll get a nice, juicy thank you, but really, you could be doing more than just saying thank you. You could be finding ways to barter your way in, find ways. One person gets a car, the next person has the gas money. So it's like we have to start really, really teaching others how to do that, so that we're not just, you know, totally draining ourselves out. Because like I said, this movement won't last like that. If not, it has to be self-sustaining. It has to come a point where we're not giving everything in. It has to be able to support itself. And it's not doing that right now. And if we don't grab these millennials, it will never do it.
Let me say something also just in regards to the same thing. To me, and I go back to the Big Mama experience I had when I was a child, I was actually in a position where my next door neighbor's mother, you know, she was real involved in everybody's affairs in the community. Back when mm-hmm. I was growing up, you didn't consider that to be somebody is that's, you know, that's nosy, that, you know, name she didn't mm-hmm. you know, do her thing, so I watch it. No, we embraced the community back yeah. then, embraced those people that would look after everybody else. And, you know, while my mother was, you know, was a single mother at the time, had to work, and I'm mm-hmm. coming home, you know, with the neighbor's kids and stuff like that. We're talking about 6 years old, I'm walking home from school, you know, and had to go home by myself. The deal is the family, the community, the neighborhood took care of each other. So it's not like yes. I was at home alone, because my next door neighbor mother, she did not have to work. And so she looked after everybody. But one of the things I do remember her saying to me that really stuck with me was the fact that she could look at me and tell when something was wrong and figure out a way to extract it out of me in such a way to where I would embrace her talking to me about it and not be ashamed or not feel like it was I was being scolded or going to get scolded, so that I would actually talk and then come up with a positive way of addressing it without, you know, getting into my mother's motherhood, so to speak, or offending my mother's right. motherhood. You see what I mean? And right. so I think that's important yeah. too. But what I'm saying in regards to that whole Big Mom experience that I had is with this current generation of parents that are coming up, the advent of social media and the way the 9-to-5 or rat race grind is going, they have been discommunicated with their community the way we were brought up, to where we were basically building in, and everybody was minding each other's business versus mind your own attitude that they got now. So that Big Mom experience that I had did give me an opportunity to have a somewhat of an outlet. Whereas one of the things that I recognize and what's important to me about this show is that what you're doing is you're giving advice from a Big Mama's perspective to the community, so right. that a lot of times the things that this generation is missing, they're picking up now through programs like this. One of the aspects of that I think is important that we put out there is we have to keep in mind that some people, there's a good percentage of people, again, going back to the negative outlets, who had negative outlets and they want to now embrace and be a part of the community. And so they actually have to re-identify who they are, because if if you're coming up out of a negative environment, in terms of what you defined yourself as being, and now all of a sudden you're embracing the community, you're embracing Panther work, or you're embracing grassroots organizing, you're cleaning yourself up. So you may not have had a positive outlet. So in helping others, you're learning to help yourself. So the problem with that, and what we have to address with that perspective, is that do not consider the community work your outlet. Because that's how that's you right. also end up working into a burnout or a setting an expectation that causes you to now retract. So the deal is we have to help get them to understand that you being involved in the community is not helping yourself become a better person.
That's right.
You are doing what you should do by being involved in the community. That is not a way of self-medicating the issues that you've had throughout your mm-hmm. life and cover them mm-hmm. up by helping mm-hmm. other people. It will work mm-hmm. to a certain degree for so long, but then it'll come to a point to where that reflection that you're dealing with in the mirror is going to shatter, because if you do not have a positive or progressive way to deal with the pinned up and bottled up things that you need to work on about yourself, that you're calling yourself going out and dealing with in the community, then you're going to implode. And so to me, that Big Mama spirit helps to address that kind of thing, because like I said, people are coming to this movement. Like I was a kid, I wouldn't say nothing. So they may come into this movement all positive, full of energy, wanting to help somebody. But then you, as a big mama, you look at them and you'll say, child, ain't something, what is bothering you? You know,
yep.
And so you can
yep.
peep into their soul and recognize the fact that there is some internal development that needs to be worked on. So then that goes back to re-identifying and learning who they are, because who they was negative in terms of how they addressed and dealt with themselves from an outlet perspective. And so that stuff that they did to basically numb themselves from what's going on in their self-worth within the community, because oftentimes that's what drugs and alcohol and things of that in that environment is. It's about numbing yourself so that you don't have to address those internal pains. So now helping the community kind of gives you that same fix without actually doing something to your body. But you still have to go back and address those problems, those inner demons.
You're always
and so I do
want to
say that.
Yeah, you're always going to be short if you do that, because you're doing the right thing for the wrong reason. And you will run out steam trying to do the right thing for the wrong reason. We have got – this is why we have to help teach people boundaries. We have to be consistent. We have to do this. This is why we're teaching it, and we're not just teaching it to millennials. You know, we're teaching it to them from a brand new perspective, but we're teaching it to everybody, whether it's brand new, whether it's a refresher or whatever. These are things you need to know, period, for your own life. So 100%, this is not – helping people should not, because at that point we're doing it for ego purposes. At that point we're doing it to get our feel goods and get the claps and the applause and everything else like that. And like I said, you will run out. You will run out of steam. Or you will. How many of our conscious scholars have really lost their brains because they have confused the work that they were supposed to be doing with their own ego stroking? You know what I'm saying? They've created a way to get their strokes off and in the name of blackness, and that's not going to work. That's not going to sustain us. And like I said, we got about 5-10 years to really get this next generation on task. Well, my dear sister Makita, I really appreciate you coming up with this topic. When I saw it, I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we got to do it, because people don't know how to support, and they don't know how to be supported. So when we're talking about support during the struggle, we in the middle of a struggle, but it's not a new struggle for us. So I'm so glad that you came up with this topic and gave us the opportunity to really, really talk about the benefits that we're just totally overlooking. We leaving them on the table because we don't even know we can help and benefit each other.
Prayerfully, people will be able to take something back from today's show and figure out a way where they can get in to fit in, figure out a way for to ask for the support that they need. For our elders, let's use this wisdom. Let's teach these, you know, these babies how to effectively communicate. You know, for the elders that are, or the older generation that's shifting and preparing their new reality, there's support through that as well. But you have to be willing to receive it.
Yeah, and
you know,
we can be honest about where you are.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when the support is there, you know?
Yeah.
And all that for the cameras, that's not going to last long, because you'll also get exposed. Not just burnout, but you'll be exposed.
Yes.
You know, because one of those millennials will be like, wait a minute. I saw brother such and such doing this, and that. And that totally contradicts what you're telling me we have to do in these meetings, you know?
That's
so
right.
We have to really
be
careful of how we're moving around
this,
you know?
They have no problem with calling
you out. Yeah,
no
problem. They'll call you out. Out of love. Mm-hmm. Out of love / confusion, they will call you out.
Confusion. Because it's just not making any sense. You know,
yes.
So those of us that are older, we have to have some tough private conversations with people. You know, and if this is
right.
What you need, if you need this check-in, fine. But, you know, we can't be creamy in the process and figure, well, I'll just talk my way out of it, because you're not.
Yeah.
We can see it for what
and
it
then,
is.
Yeah, and then also, you know, we're talking about my community. You know, this is my community. We've had a lot of speakers. You know, we need some more action, you know, and that is, a difficult thing for me. You know, I love this speaking, but, you know, as a second generation, I'm like, look, I've heard all the speeches. I don't think you can outdo any of the speeches I've already heard, you know. It's time
right.
for some action. It's time. How do we go from sharing words to creating sustainable action? And that's really where the questions are coming in. This is where we're putting policies and programs in place. You know, this is where we're trying to build something that is going to be able to sustain and to assist our community in getting to the next step. You know, this is why we have to be engaging with not just those that know a little something. We got to be willing to start at ground zero with someone who don't know but has the time and will have the longevity to continue this struggle. You know, when I'm looking at these millennials, man, they some work. They are some work. You have to start from like zero, okay? But that investment that we're making within them will help them to have their work and have our work that we adopted from our parents go, and they'll be able to continue the work that we're putting in place right now another 20 years. So, you know, when I'm looking at these young folks and answering the same question about three times, but anyways, you know, as I'm looking at them, I know that this is truly the future. And not only is it the future, at this point, it's the only, because we are all aging. We all aging. We are growing up right on this radio program. So we have to get to the point where we can say we have educated them and prepared them for the next steps. You know, this monster has changed dynamics. Now it's not just a matter of finding your loved one hanging from a tree or finding your loved one beaten to death. They now got videotapes of this. So you can watch your loved one die over and over again. And I'm like, no, no. But this is that next generation's fight. So my whole purpose is to get them ready for their fight. You know, at this point, I've said my speeches. I'm great. We need to get them ready to do more than just speaking. So we got to give them more than just speeches. So this is how we're going to do it. It was a great show. I want to thank everybody that called in, that listened, that's going to listen in the future. We do this every Sunday at 8. You will get educated, stimulated, you know, insulted if you're not careful. But, you know, this is what we do in the name of Black power. This is what we do in the name of education. This is what we do in the name of Black nationalism, Pan-Africanism, all these things that are working in the positive for the communities and the people we have right here. So I want to thank everybody for listening. Tune in next Sunday. I think Chairman Yanga will be on sharing his political education. So in the week after that, we're going to have Chief Warhol come back along with the Panther 48. So this is constantly an opportunity to learn, to gather more knowledge, and to do better. So thank you, everybody, for their time spent. Black power.
Black power.